The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
And that's where we find ourselves once again. The Israel Report with Rolene Marks, journalist, reporter, commentator, and also spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation. Rolene, good afternoon to you. Always great having you on board the Afternoon Overdrive.
Good afternoon. Always good to be in your illustrious company.
Well, everybody is looking forward to being in Ro's illustrious company. Quite a bit to unpack this afternoon, Rolene. Of course, we're starting with Gaza, the humanitarian aid situation. Israel, is it obliged to provide aid? But where does everything stand right now?
Okay, so first, let's take a step back and look at where we are currently standing. And as of Saturday night, the first phase of the ceasefire came to an end. Now we kind of are in sort of a no man's land place because we don't have any confirmed or any final agreements on phase two or what's going to happen there. And, you know, we have various maneuverings. We've got Israel wanting an extension of phase one, Hamas saying no. We've got Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, putting forward his plan, a plan which would see half of the hostages, both living and deceased, released right away, and the remaining half if there is an agreement on a permanent ceasefire. Now, Israel has accepted the plan, but Hamas has rejected it. And from Israel's position, Israel has threatened harsher stand or harsher consequences against Hamas if they do not release our hostages. Now, everything could end today if Hamas did two things, surrendered and gave back all of our hostages. And I think it's also important to note that Israel doesn't make distinctions between the living and the dead hostages, which is important because I have had people say, well, can't they just release the living hostages and leave the dead hostages till later? Now, I want to just clarify something on that. Every hostage that is no longer with us deserves a dignified burial. They have families that love them and want to lay them to rest with all the dignity and all the halakha, all that pertains to the Jewish laws of burial. So that's a sort of a bone of contention that many of us here don't understand, coming from people who are saying, well, you know, just release the live ones. From Israel's perspective, all of the hostages, the living and the dead, no distinction between either. So Hamas, where we are at the moment, is we are kind of at an impasse. Hamas have said Israel is taking us back to square one. We have had some uncalled for remarks coming from members of the government, like Itamar Ben-Gvir, who a short while ago called for the bombing of aid warehouses, which is absolutely unacceptable. I just want to put that out there right now. Now, Israel has stopped letting goods into Gaza. The reason Israel has stopped doing that is because from Israel's perspective, Hamas is stealing the supplies and is preventing the people of Gaza from getting them and using the supplies to finance their terror machine. However, since the 19th of January, over 25,000 aid trucks have gone into the Gaza Strip. This is in addition to now nearly 17 months of humanitarian aid. As you can understand, the international community has not reacted to this decision favorably. Many of them demanding that Israel starts sending in humanitarian aid, especially since the message that we have had from the army all throughout this is that we are going to flood the Gaza Strip with humanitarian aid. So let's look at Israel's obligations under international law. According to international law, Israel's obligations are limited to not unreasonably hampering or preventing the entry of aid by third parties unless there are valid reasons for doing so. This is as per the International Legal Forum. And I'm going to read to you from the Article 23 anniversary of the Fourth Geneva Convention, mm-hmm. that it is only applicable provision that governs Israel's obligation to allow passage of humanitarian supplies. And basically what this means is that Israel is not obligated to let in humanitarian aid. I don't think we see in any other occasions of war or conflict around the world where one of the parties is obligated to allow the enemy party to receive humanitarian aid. This is a decision that is backed by the Trump administration, and this is where Israel is at. Now, I know we have a question from a listener, which I think is a fair and valid question, asking if the withholding of aid could, in fact, impact on our hostages. And I think that is an important question, because we did hear from Eli Sharabi, one of the hostages who was released several weeks ago in extremely emaciated condition, saying that the hostages were punished every time there was some kind of statement that came from the members of the government. You know, when members of the government, and he named specifically Itamar Ben-Gvir, made comments about not letting aid, food would be withheld, food, medical help, the very little that there is would have been withheld from the hostages. And really, for our hostages, and I'm sure many of you heard Eli's rather chilling testimony, an extraordinary man, Eli Sharabi, where he spoke about the degrees of starvation. I think that many can understand that every second for our hostages counts. We need them all home now.
Rolene, I'll ask the question again, and I apologize if I sound like a stuck record, but I'm just trying to understand the practicalities of the delivery of aid. You have clearly pointed out what happens to the aid when it crosses into Gaza. So the aid comes to the border. Who takes over from there?
The aid comes to the border. All the aid trucks are inspected by COGET to ensure that they aren't carrying any kinds of weapons or material that can be used as weapons against Israelis. The aid then goes into the Gaza Strip, to warehouses, to collection points. It is then the obligation of aid organizations and other parties to distribute that aid. It is not the obligation of Israel to distribute that aid. You know, we've had, and you and I have spoken at length, where we've had people saying, but what about UNRWA and UNRWA disseminating the aid? There are other aid organizations working on the ground more than capable of disseminating humanitarian aid. The problem with that is that you've got gangs, you've got members of Hamas that are hijacking that aid and either keeping it for themselves or selling it for exorbitant amounts of money or just not collecting. You've got many cases where aid organizations have just not collected the aid. And we've had incidents of food and other perishables just rotting as they wait for collection. So Israel now using different tactics to force Hamas to release the hostages. The next threat is to possibly cut the amount of electricity, which is not the whole amount of electricity, let's be very clear, that is provided to the Gaza Strip. And I think from a strategic perspective, the tactic now is to force the civilian population southwards to Al-Mawasi, to the humanitarian zones, and start to take out Hamas and pressure Hamas to release our hostages.
Amazing, Rolene. Very quickly, as you mentioned, all these aid agencies who are responsible for overseeing the humanitarian aid. It begs the question, where are their reports regarding what you've just outlined?
Well, interestingly enough, UK lawyers for Israel, using peer-reviewed data, released a report last week that also blew apart the accusations of famine and starvation. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all see with our own eyes at these ludicrous carnivals of grotesque terror where hostages are released, that there is no starvation in Gaza. And I think another factor that has prompted this decision is that when we hear accusations of Gaza starvation, I mean, Hamas laughably has called it a war crime. Egypt has accused Israel of using starvation as a weapon. How can you afford all the money for the very, very, very expensive signage that you have, which has changed at every single hostage release?
Rolene, that brings to an end yet another conversation on the Afternoon Overdrive. Always a pleasure having you on board. Wish we could have continued the conversation, but we are pressed for time. Looking forward, of course, to our meeting again at the same time tomorrow. Rolene Marks, journalist, reporter, commentator, and spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation.